Chapter 9. The Letter. It wasn't until late afternoon on the day of the murder of Sir Danvers Carew that Utterson could get away from the inspector and all the legal details concerning the death of his client. The lawyer hurried to Dr. Jekyll's home, where Poole greeted him, then led him through the house, out the back, and across the yard. Utterson remembered that the previous owner of the house had been a prominent surgeon, who used to hold classes in his laboratory and dissecting rooms. It was toward these rooms that Poole was now leading the lawyer. At that time, the yard had been a garden, far different from the dismal emptiness it now was. When they reached the laboratory and dissecting rooms, Utterson realized that he had never been in this part of Jekyll's quarters before. He eyed the tables crowded with chemical apparatus curiously. The floor was littered with open crates, the packing straw still strewn about. A short flight of stairs led from the laboratory to Jekyll's office. Poole knocked, then opened the door. The office was a large room with three iron-barred, dusty windows looking out onto the court. Its furnishings were usual for a doctor's office, except for a full-length mirror in one corner. Because the fog still lay thickly over London, lamps had been lit. A fire burned in the grate, and huddled close beside it was Dr. Jekyll. He looked deathly sick, and did not rise to meet Utterson. But he held out a cold hand and welcomed him in a changed voice, as if it hurt him to speak. As soon as Poole had left them, Utterson asked, "You have heard the news?" Jekyll shuddered. "The newsboys were crying it in the square." Utterson assumed a businesslike manner, so his words would be taken as coming from a lawyer, not a friend. "Carew was my client, Jekyll, but so are you, and I want to know what I am doing. You have not been mad enough to hide this fellow, have you?" "Utterson, I swear I will never set eyes on him again," cried Jekyll. "On my honor, I am done with him in this world. It is all at an end, believe me." Jekyll had risen, and now stood before Utterson, waving his hands in a distracted way. "And indeed, the man is safe. He is quite safe, and does not want my help. You do not know him as I do. Hear what I say. He will never be heard of again." The lawyer listened gloomily. He did not like Jekyll's feverish manner. "You seem pretty sure of him," he said slowly. "And for your sake, I hope you may be right. If it came to a trial, your name might appear. It would be scandalous." "Oh, yes, yes, I am sure he is gone," exclaimed Jekyll. "Why I am sure, I cannot tell anyone." He paused, and then resumed in a calmer tone. "However, I do need your advice on one thing. I have received a letter, and I don't know whether to show it to the police or not." Utterson's usually impassive face took on an expression of interest. "From Hyde?" Jekyll nodded. "And you fear that it might lead to his capture?"
"No," replied Jekyll coolly. "I cannot say that I care what becomes of Hyde. I am only concerned for my own reputation. So I want to leave it all in your hands. I have the greatest trust in your judgment, and I know you will act wisely."
Utterson thought it over. He was surprised at Jekyll's selfish view of the matter, but also relieved by it. "Very well," he said at last. "Let me see the letter." The letter Jekyll handed to Utterson was written in an odd, upright hand, and was signed Edward Hyde. It was brief, saying that Dr. Jekyll, from whom the writer had received so much generosity and been unworthy of it, should not worry about the writer's safety, as he had a means of escape on which he could depend absolutely. Utterson seemed relieved by the letter. It did not read like the letter of a blackmailer to his victim. With a nod of approval, he asked, "Where is the envelope?" "I burned it before I realized that perhaps I should not have," replied Jekyll. "However, it bore no postmark, for it was delivered by messenger.
Well, let me keep the letter and think over what to do, said Utterson.
Thank you, thank you, said Jekyll with relief. I want you to make all decisions for me. I have lost confidence in myself.
Tell me one thing, said the lawyer with a return to sharpness. It was Hyde who dictated the terms in your will about your disappearance, wasn't it? The doctor turned pale, and for a moment he seemed to sway in faintness. Then he nodded, his mouth tightly shut.
I knew it, cried Utterson. He meant to murder you. You have had a narrow escape.
Better than that, replied Jekyll solemnly. I have had a lesson. Oh God, Utterson, what a lesson I have had. With that, Jekyll broke down and covered his face with his hands. When Jekyll finally quieted down, Utterson gave him an encouraging pat on the shoulder and left by the way he had come. He did not wish to use the scarred laboratory door, though it was the nearer way out, for it was the very door at which he had stood watch for so many nights, hoping to see Hyde enter with his key. Poole held the polished front door open for the lawyer's departure, saying,
"Good afternoon, Mr. Utterson."
Utterson turned back to Poole for a moment. "A letter was delivered here today by messenger. Tell me, Poole, what did the messenger look like?" Poole shook his head.
"No, sir, you are mistaken. I myself handle all the mail. In the regular post today, there were only circulars from tradesmen, and there has been no letter delivered by a messenger. Of this I am certain."